Would you agree with me that there is a big difference between military life and civilian life? Yeah? Okay, I know we have several veterans in our congregation that have served in the military. Many ways of life between someone who serves in that capacity and everybody else is very different. One of the ways that are strikingly different that I want to talk about today is school, particularly college. Now, I went to college. I remember when I graduated. I went to Texas Tech University. I graduated in August in Texas, and I remember dressed nicely, but then you've got the black gown over you and the black hat. It was raging hot, and I remember sitting in the auditorium as what felt like 100,000 names were read as I was sitting there waiting until they got to my name, and then we still had to wait even longer. It felt like it took forever. But one of the things that I thought was interesting was that as we were a part of this process, there were people that would come up and they would speak. And oftentimes, it's when you hear these speeches at graduation ceremonies, it's, you know, now you get to go explore the world. You get to be whatever you want to be, right? Go out and make mistakes and fall in love and do all of this stuff, and it's going to be awesome. And the whole world is your oyster. You can do whatever it is you want to do. One of the key differences between a civilian graduation and a military one is when you're in a civilian graduation, the ceremony is called a commencement. And commencing something is just a starting point, but without any direction. Do what you want to do. The military college is very different. Certainly, they still have a graduation ceremony, but either as a part of that ceremony or as a standalone ceremony itself, they have what's known as a commissioning ceremony. Commissioning ceremonies are where these newly minted officers in the military are given a task, a charge, a mission. At these ceremonies, it's kind of cool the way that things happen. They're usually held at a really beautiful, prestigious location. After the welcome, there's the administration of the oath of office. And so these new military officers, they commit to defending the Constitution of the United States of America. After that, there's the pinning of the rank. The insignia pins, usually family members, go up and pin them on the uniform, and it's this really beautiful, often emotional moment. There's other traditions that happen, such as the first salute. Often that's where the new officer salutes an enlisted military person as a sign of respect. There's sometimes the giving of a commemorative sword, right? There's many different things that happen, other honors, other speeches. But the whole point of the ceremony is that you are now being commissioned to serve. And it's very particular, and it's very specific, and it's very different than the go be whatever you want that you get in civilian graduations. As I look at Jesus' life, as I look at the way he speaks to his followers, his disciples, I have a hard time not believing that what he tells us to do looks a lot more like a military commissioning than a civilian commencement. You see, if you are a follower of Jesus, you and I, we have a job to do. We have a task given to us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We are in this series called Angles, and we've been in the series now for a couple of weeks, and the point of this series is to look at different perspectives as it relates to the gospel. Not specifically like different ways of seeing it, but rather, what are the implications of it for Jesus, for us, for God the Father, for how we interact in the world today? And 2 weeks ago, we started the series by looking at Jesus as King, and we talked about how it was his humility that put him into the place of honor that the Father gave him. Last week, we talked about Jesus is united to us. And so as we navigate through life, you don't have to do so alone, but you do so with the God of the universe with you. Today, we're talking about Jesus as our general, as our commanding officer, the one that gives us the task that you and I are meant to engage in, which is spoiler alert, making more. So today we're going to answer the question, what is this mission that Jesus has given to his people? How then do we do it? And we've got a special treat for you. I'm going to talk for about 15 minutes, and then we've got a special guest that's going to come up, give you a very practical way that you can be involved in this great mission that God has given to his people. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll dive into our time together. Lord, we're so thankful for your word and for the chance that you give us each week to open it, to read it, to marinate on it, and to be changed by it. Lord, we recognize it is a tremendous privilege to be able to do so. I ask, Lord, that in this time, the words that come from my mouth would be what you would want to say and not what anybody else would want to say, myself included. Let it be your agenda only. I pray for all of our hearts that we would be attuned to what it is you're saying. I pray against mind wandering and distraction. Help us, Lord, in this moment to meet you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to grab it. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in a purple chair around you, or you can follow along on the screens to my left and to my right. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This text represents one of the most important teachings of Jesus. It's one that actually is so important that many churches frame this one way or the other as their mission statement. Right, we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And even here at Gateway Church, it has deeply influenced our mission statement as well, which is to follow Jesus and to help others do the same. The helping others do the same part is the Great Commission. Now, the circumstances around the writing of this or around this text are important. This was written at the end of Jesus' time with his disciples on earth. And so he had already lived his life. He died. He was resurrected. He spent 40 days after that time, most of which was with his disciples, but kind of interspersed in time. Some of it was a little bit of teaching. Some of it was actually kind of awesome. It was really just him proving that he was alive to people, which is great. If you are a doubter by nature, and I know some of us are, like how in the world could all this, I mean, come on now. It took his disciples who were with him, who could touch his hands, who could eat a meal with him, who could listen to him audibly. It took them over a month to figure out, wow, maybe this is actually him. Okay? So, really significant. At the end of this time, right as he's about to go back into heaven, he gives this charge, this commissioning, this is the ceremony to his followers, okay? What we're going to do with our time is really simple. I'm going to go through, break down, talk a little bit about this couple of verses, and then I'm going to invite Doug Gilquist up to talk about a really practical way. We kind of mentioned that earlier. So let's just dive right back into the beginning, verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." This is really important. Jesus was given the right, the authority, the responsibility of all things by God the Father. We see this actually in John 3:35 too. It says this, "The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands." There is nothing now being held back from Jesus in terms of authority, in terms of power, and in terms of responsibility. And that's meaningful because what he's about to tell people to do is really difficult. It's really hard. Hey man, I'm the one that can ask you to do this. You know me. Here it comes. And what he says is a few simple words, "Therefore go and make disciples." In other words, get out there and multiply. Be a part of more people acknowledging the name of Jesus. Be a part of more people bringing God's priorities into the world. Be a part of more people being obedient to God. You see, it's important to understand the way God has kind of wired things here. Of all of the ways that the Lord could have chosen for people to come to know him, he did not choose big old signs in the sky for the most part. He did not choose people regularly turning water into wine or walking on water. He chose the church. By the way, that's you and that's me. Using our words, using the way we live to show Jesus. More than likely, if you're a follower of Jesus in the room, you are because someone told you. Whether it was a parent, a friend, a child, maybe. Maybe you went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes when you were in high school. Maybe it's a Bible study you got invited to. Who knows why? But likely, almost everyone, if not every person in this room that would claim to be a follower of Jesus, you are there because Jesus was told to you by someone who loved you enough to do so. That's the way that God works this deal. The church is the primary venue for gospel expansion. The primary venue. Now, at this moment, some of us, and I'm with you, sometimes I'm like this too, might be thinking, well, let me give you an example. You know, sometimes when you're in a crowd of people and there's something that needs to be done, but maybe nobody really wants to do it, but everybody thinks it should be done, you know, like you stand up and you say, hey, somebody needs to take out the garbage. And everybody's like, yeah, yeah, somebody should do that. And your hands are firmly in your pockets, you know. It is challenging to share the good news of Jesus with people. And it is very frequent that we might say, yes, I'm so in for that. That's Pastor Jeff's job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or that's somebody else's job. That's that paid missionary in Germany that we support financially. But the reality is that it's your job too, according to the Bible. It doesn't say, go make disciples if you're of this pedigree, if you have this knowledge, if you've been to this school, if you're wired that way. And by the way, some people are. It says, go therefore and make disciples with no condition. The Great Commission is a directive, not a suggestion. It's not when you feel like it. It's not when the opportunity seems so perfect. It is as you go in life. Every moment should be a disciple-making opportunity, every interaction. Now, that doesn't mean you stand on the side of the road with a megaphone. I saw somebody fairly recently that was doing that. I'm not trying to diss on that ministry, but like the power of it is in the relationships that you have with people already. It's in your children knowing Jesus. And by the way, if you have children, you have a responsibility, a gospel responsibility to your kids. It's knowing your neighbors and pouring into them. It's your coworkers. It's praying. It's being involved in all of the things that go on around us. If you follow Jesus, you are responsible to help multiply. Now, there's a lot of ways that this can look. I've touched on a couple of them already. Hospitality is a great way to do that. Invite people into your home. Asking questions is a really great way to do that. Caring, being aware of when somebody is hurting, being generous with your time and with your resources. Just inviting somebody to be a part of a Bible study. Hey, why don't we read the book of Matthew together? Let's read the story of Jesus. You got questions? I'll do some research. It'll be great. Inviting people to church is also a valuable way you can do that. We literally have cards that are about this big. You can't exit this building without seeing them that say, sit with me. And you can invite somebody to come to church and to sit with you to begin a dialogue. The point is, you're responsible, as am I, in this work. Let's keep going. We got to go a little quicker here. Sorry. Therefore, go and make disciples, it says, of all nations. This is really critical. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on it here, though. I'm going to let Doug handle this here in a few minutes. The point is this. This is not just about your family. This is not just about the people that you love. This is not just about the people that you look like. This is not just about the people that are in the same socioeconomic status as you. This is all people. And yes, that means the people that you struggle with. And yes, that means the people that you don't get along with. And I understand that it's not as simple as saying, look, I know you and I have beef, but I got to tell you about Jesus. It's not, I understand it's complicated sometimes. But it's never meant to be a barrier to say it's not that person. Jesus loves and desires everyone, and everyone desperately needs Jesus. Okay? So that's all I'm going to say about the all nations part. Okay, so let's look at the whole thing so far. Therefore, go and make disciples, right? Make more. All of us are responsible of all the nations. And then he tells us what that looks like. And there's two pieces here. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the commands that Jesus has given to us. So, baptism, let's talk about that first, represents the first act in following Jesus in the Bible. It's the first thing most of the time. Somebody says yes to Jesus in the book of Acts, and immediately it's, where is some water? We should baptize this person. Now, baptism is important, right? But the point is this. You should be involved in the process of somebody coming to know Christ, saying yes to him. That's a piece of this story. Telling your story, helping people know what it means. But it doesn't just stop there. It's also in discipling them along. That's teaching them. That's helping them to grow, to see what it means to follow Jesus. It's baptizing. It's teaching and discipling. Multiplication requires engagement. The beauty of it is people can't baptize themselves. People can't come to know Jesus by themselves. And again, people can't be discipled without other people discipling them. I hope you're getting the point, right? You got to be involved in this, right? We good? Okay. Lastly, he says this, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I love this. You're not on your own in this deal. God is with you in it. Jesus is with you in it. If you feel like Jesus is absent in your life, maybe you should be involved in the Great Commission. That might just be a good start. Because that's where he is. And he's there, ready to be with you, to support you, to help you, to guide you. Jesus is the only way we can do this. Jesus is our guide in multiplication. We have to have his involvement. So, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, at this point in time, I'm going to invite Doug Gilquist, a great friend and member here at Gateway Church. He's involved in an unbelievable ministry that gives you a very practical way that you can be involved in this. And so I'm going to invite Doug up. You guys can give him a hand. Yay!
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Hey, so a quick question, rhetorical question. You don't have to raise your hand, but my guess is you have one of these. Smartphone? I like to tease my kids about the fact that phones used to have cords, you know? Some of you remember that. If you were like me, you had the kitchen cord that was like 30 feet long, but it was all tangled up and you only got about 2.5 feet. But anyways, an incredible amount of people have smartphones now worldwide. In fact, there are people that live in a grass hut that have a cell phone, that have a smartphone, that can go online and research things on the internet. I just want to talk about a little bit about Global Media Outreach. That's who I work for. It's a Christian ministry. It was established in 2004. Before the iPhone came out. I know that if you're one of our younger folks here today, not having an iPhone is unimaginable, but trust me, there was a part of history where we didn't have those tools. So, 2004, the founder, Walt Wilson, the founder of Global Media Outreach, was just overcome by the Holy Spirit, and as he was in a meeting learning about the internet, this new thing called the internet, He just really felt the Lord saying, I'm going to ask you to use the internet to reach people for Jesus Christ. Sometimes we struggle with what's available on the internet, and rightly so. But there are some redeeming things happening on the net as well. Look at how many people are online in some capacity on any given day or throughout a month. So one of the things about missions is that typically we figure out, okay, how are we going to go reach this people group, or how we're going to get this message over to where these people are that need to hear about Jesus. Think about that now just for a second. Instead of thinking region, country, what part of the globe, think in terms of language, because I just want to set it up for you to think about this a little bit. So if there's 4 billion Google users on a daily basis, if there's 2 billion people logging into YouTube to watch a video in any given month, if there's 2 billion Facebook users daily, guilty, one of those. If there's 2 billion WhatsApp users, again, rhetorical question, anybody heard of WhatsApp? Can you raise your hand? Yeah. It's actually used more predominantly globally outside of the U.S. than it is even here. But 1+ billion Instagram and TikTok users, a lot of people going on the internet to search things, to seek things, to find out things. And spiritual truths are one of those things too. So what GMO did a number of years ago was figure out how to post things in languages. You can go ahead to the next slide. So again, answering the question, what if we could use the internet to fulfill or to partner with the church, and I'm talking about the church, Gateway being one of those. What if we could partner together in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Go ahead and advance it beyond that. So, you know, here's something that's interesting. I don't know, maybe it's just my simple mind, but you can share the gospel with somebody without actually making them a disciple, right? Does that make sense? So you can share what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, but then step away and not actually walk with them in that faith journey. Or if you were like Gateway Church and Global Media Outreach, we want to focus on that narrow end, that grow section of the funnel. And you really can't make disciples of all nations if you're not also sharing the gospel, right? So you can sometimes do one without the other, but in order to make disciples of all nations, it does involve sharing the gospel. So we want to, from a Global Media Outreach perspective, we spend time reaching people with the gospel message, and that would be in written form or perhaps a video or a testimony of somebody sharing their own faith perspective and journey. And then sharing, right? So really getting into the meat of it. Who is Jesus? What does he mean to us? What does he represent in our ability and the only path to reconcile our way back to God? And then what does it mean to grow, right? There's lots of questions. Each of us had those too. Regardless of where you're at in your own faith journey, there was likely a question. I don't understand what this means. You're asking your parents, you're asking a Sunday school teacher, you're asking Pastor Jeff, I need a little bit more help. Can you unpack this for me? So becoming a missionary involves walking with somebody in their journey, right? Go ahead, you can advance it. I just want to show you this briefly. Now, this is just a looped video, but I took a snapshot, little video, of Global Media Outreach's main page. So if you were to go to globalmediaoutreach.com, this is what you would see. And the little interactive pins, we're measuring three things. Because we use Google, we get a lot of analytics back. Anybody frustrated with Google Analytics sometimes? I mean, Google knows, you know, what your favorite brand is that you use and buy on a regular basis, all of that. But there are some really cool things about analytics as well. So let me just share briefly. So a blue pin that you see popping up here would be somebody just either viewed or watched the gospel. An orange pin would be somebody who voluntarily, after reading or watching the gospel message, clicks on a box and says, I'm letting you know that I made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. So they're voluntarily giving us feedback to let us know they made a decision and are now a follower of Jesus. And then the green pin is a little bit smaller number overall, but that's somebody who would say, you know what, maybe I have already accepted Christ, or maybe I need a couple more things explained to me before I'm there yet. But that would be somebody, again, who voluntarily is saying, hey, my name is Doug Gilquist. Here's my email address. I need somebody to chat with. I need somebody to talk to. I would like to be connected with an online missionary. And so that's what GMO is doing. We're partnering with the local church. And what I wanted to share is an opportunity that Gateway family has to become online missionaries if you believe that's a part of how God would be using you in the Great Commission. So I'll unpack that a little bit more. By the way, these numbers that are associated with it, some of which are too small to read, but if you go online and read that, these are numbers that are continuing to grow in size since 2004, if that makes sense, okay? All right, you can advance it. So 13 languages. GMO works in 13 languages. And I'm just going to use one example real quickly. Why we chose language over region or country or territory is because language crosses all those borders, right? So I'll just use Arabic as an example. We post the gospel message in the language of Arabic, but we're reaching people not only in the Middle East, but we're reaching people in Dearborn, Michigan, or Minneapolis, Minnesota, or Los Angeles, California. So if you can think about it from the standpoint that language reaches beyond borders, that's why we've taken that approach. And then essentially, Global Media Outreach distributes the gospel message, and then we partner with online missionaries to interact and become familiar working with people. So if this looks like potentially an opportunity for you to say, man, I think this might be what a part of my role in the Great Commission. It's not to replace talking to our neighbor or our coworker or a family member who needs Jesus. That's not what it is. But if you could take 3 to 5 hours a week and become an online missionary, you could interact with somebody who's got questions and work with them. All right, go ahead. Advance it one more time for me. So again, we at Global Media Outreach, we're an umbrella organization. If you can imagine posting things in Arabic or in Urdu, which is primarily the language of Pakistan, if you could imagine posting ads about the gospel, sometimes the name Global Media Outreach doesn't really say it, right? So we have to use different brands. So we have about 7 different brands, of which Explore God is one of those. But think of it this way, thousands of volunteers working on behalf of interacting with people, answering some questions. There's all kinds of training and teaching available. So you're not just on your own. You're logging into a system, and then you have this resource library that you can make available to people. 13 languages, that represents over 240 countries that are being touched in some way, shape, or form through this digital evangelism and interaction with online missionaries. But look at this, over 6,000 new contacts. A contact is somebody who's saying, here's my name, here's my contact information, I've got questions. Over 6,000 per day on average, just through GMO stuff, not in addition to what other ministries are doing as well. I want to show you a video. It captures a testimony of a gal named Maria, but I also want you to pay attention to Jan and her testimony in this as well.
My mom was not really affectionate because she didn't receive that when she was little. She used to treat me bad, but she didn't know any better. I was abused, I was bullied, and I was mad at God. The image of God that I had, I was repeating it for my mom, but I didn't really believe it. It was really difficult for me to understand. I was hurting myself since I was really, really young. I was not able to accept that I deserve love. All this time I was thinking, I deserve this suffering. I got to a point when I was already a mother and I wasn't feeling happy. I had to wear this mask that I was doing right things, that always saying God, God, God all the time, and really didn't know him. This really, really bad thoughts all the time that I didn't want to live anymore. I realized I was in my lowest point and I needed to make a change. I was looking in the internet and I found Explore God. I started looking at the videos. There was a lot of information and I went through all of it. Every article, every video, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I'm like, yes, that's what I'm here for. It got to a point when I was asked if I wanted to connect with a volunteer right away. Yes, I did. I connected with Jan. And we went through different studies, and now I can understand a lot. We do it every single day. That's the first thing I read in the morning.
The moment I met Maria, It was like I was talking to a sister. I don't think that she was completely comfortable being a Christian, but as I talked with her, she began to grow, and I could tell. One of the things Maria was struggling with was the fact that she had had children outside of marriage. Walking her through that, the thing about God's forgiveness of past sin was so special to her. She couldn't believe that God would actually forgive her.
All the information that I've been getting through Explore God, for me, is a game changer, absolutely. The opportunity to now see my story, not with resentment, not with pain, but with gratefulness, knowing that every single part of it had a purpose. I feel absolutely blessed to have this opportunity to make things different. My daughter and I got baptized. Since the very beginning of this whole process, it's like God is up to something. Even though I had to suffer all those things, I survived all those things that I now see in a different light is something amazing. And I feel really grateful and blessed. I am convinced the Explore God was a really, really good tool for me to get closer to God, to give me that I was looking for, to get to really know Him and really know what He wants me to do.
So as I think about being a missionary, or the opportunity to help or become a missionary, in this case, an online missionary, I think of the definition of a missionary not as someone who has all the answers, but rather someone who's willing to walk alongside somebody who has questions. All right, so I think there's a difference in that. And if this is touching your heart in any way and you're like, man, I would like to just check out a little bit more, I'm going to be in the back after we are excused, and I've got a table there. I've got a few resources. You can do your homework, find out who this ministry is that maybe you've never heard of. But the bottom line I want to leave you with this is, at Gateway Church here, our mission is to follow Jesus and help others do the same. Let me just read for you the vision of Global Media Outreach: leveraging technology to invite all people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and grow in a personal relationship with Him. They're pretty similar. This is, I think, a great way where we as a body could partner together with an organization who's reaching across borders at the same time that we're reaching people here in Elk River. If you're open to it, you could advance it one more time. If you're open to it, we would love to partner with you. If you've got questions, I'll be in the back to answer any of those. But thank you, Pastor Jeff. I appreciate it.
So yeah, I would encourage you, find Doug after. The table he's going to be at is literally right back through here against the wall, so make sure and take a few minutes. The opportunity to change lives is all around us for the sake of Jesus, for His fame, and for our good. And so let's engage in it. Let me pray, and we'll be done. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Lord, so much for GMO, and thank you, Lord, so much for their ministry. Thank you, Lord, so much for calling us to this high calling of being the banner carriers of the gospel to those around us. I pray, Lord, that we would be moved and that our hearts would be shaken to the core as we realize how deeply people need you and need to hear from you. Lord, we can only do it by your power and only by your strength, and so we ask for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.